You know, it seems like almost every day now we're getting some sort of a new poll on who's leading the pack for the Republicans, or whether or not the public is happy with the president. And we had some, I'll dig them out here in a minute. I mean, the numbers that came out of Washington have not been good as far as the growth of the economy. But dig as they tried hard to dig up, and they finally did find a guy who thinks that Obama's going to get reelected.
Did they?
Yeah.
Well, so what'd Michelle say?
Yeah, really.
A well-respected political pundit who's been right with every presidential race since 1984 says that President Obama will be reelected.
So he said Carter would be reelected, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Says American University President Alan Lichtman.
Wasn't he the bad guy in Robin Hood?
Yeah, and in Die Hard, too,
yeah.
Wasn't he? Yeah. So anyway, 13...
It was Alan Rickman, in case you're curious.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
13 different election keys used to measure the probability that a candidate, incumbent or not, would win the White House. He says his assertion that a Democrat would have a good shot at beating George H.W. Bush back in 1992, in fact, played a big part in Bill Clinton's decision to run for the White House. Well, sure. Okay. In retrospect, he says that. But was it a day that Bubba woke up and he saw this Alan Lichtman say this? He goes, I think I'll run for Biden. Yeah, don't I do that, huh? What do you think? Huh? Me a lot of interns. Yeah, anyway. All right. So we'll see how that works out. You were at Opus last night.
I was the opener for the main stage last night with the Steep Canyon Rangers and a guy named Steve Martin.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it was fantastic. It really was. I didn't know what to expect. I thought it would be a little bit of comedy and a whole lot of bluegrass.
Picking and a grinning?
A lot of picking and grinning. And it was a whole lot of bluegrass, but it was also a whole lot of comedy, too. So, you know, people that didn't go because they were afraid that, you know, they just want to see Steve Martin do stand-up and not play banjo, you got a whole lot of both. You got a whole lot of comedy between each song and a whole lot of just great toe-tapping music. It was a hit to start the season, no doubt about that.
And it was a full house, huh?
It was. I didn't see a seat. I think it was billed as a sellout, and I think just about everybody that had a ticket came, and I had a good view of everything. But it was good, and the Steep Canyon Rangers were excellent. I mean, the guy that stole the show from Martin, of course, Martin let him do it, was the guy that played the very last encore, the fiddle player, whose name I can't recall right now, but his version of Orange Blossom Special just really drew a standing ovation, I mean, at the end, and it was good. It was a fun time, good way to start the season. And Steve Martin, I mean, he's 66 years old, and he's, you know, same kind of comedy, just, you know, observational type humor and self-deprecating humor and all that, and he's just as funny as ever. Yeah, yeah, it was.
Microphone's over here, Scott.
It was a lot of fun.
Reaching over to answer the telephone. Hello.
You know, Chase would have appreciated that Orange Blossom Special because he threw in a little Simpsons theme in the middle of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He did a little Beethoven in it and everything. It was his own version of Orange Blossom Special, and it was a lot of fun.
Where were your seats?
Fourth row. Yeah. Center stage.
I saw Chip down there.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I left that concert. I'm thinking it's not fair that Steve Martin has as many gifts as he does. This guy is the ultimate Renaissance man.
Yeah.
I mean, besides the comedy, he's an unbelievable musician. Everything they played last night, except for the Orange Blossom Special, he wrote.
Right.
He wrote everything, which is amazing when you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is a painter. He's an actor. He's a writer. He is prolific. It's pretty amazing the number of gifts this guy has.
Yeah, you think he's goofy, but he's in one of my favorite movies, and it was a drama. I mean, he's
far from goofy. He is extremely accomplished.
All that from Waco, Texas. Wow.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Well, he spent 5 years in Waco. His family moved when he was five. But
He said he left Waco at age five. Left behind a wife and two kids. So.
How did you get fifth row tickets?
Fourth row, but I know people.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It pays to know people.
I guess it does. All right, thanks. There you go.
I did see Chip down there. He was there hobnobbing, you know.
Now, did you have an aisle seat so the toe tapping was not a distraction for your neighbors?
As a matter of fact, I did. I did have an aisle seat.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
all right.
Did have an aisle seat. Had fine seats. Could see it all.
There you go.
So it was a lot of fun. So check out the schedule, folks. You know, we're media sponsors, so we talk about this.
But sure.
I would anyway, because it's a great product that Opus provides each and every year. So check out the schedule. Garrison Keillor's coming here in just a few days.
That's
on the 8th. Yeah.
So if you're feeling, I don't know, I enjoy flying usually. I mean, the flying itself, the experience sometimes is not good, but I don't have a fear of flying. This may change now. A report from the FAA that came out said that planes these days are so automated that pilots are beginning to forget the thing that got them up in the cockpit, and that's how to fly the plane.
Oh.
How's that make you feel?
Not well.
It's a draft of a report by the FAA that says the problem is what they call automated addiction. The autopilot makes flying so easy that it's become a crutch. Basically, the pilots only take the stick for takeoff and landing. As a result, their flying skills deteriorate. If you'll remember the crash of the airplane up in Buffalo in 2009.
Right. That happened. It was a pilot error thing,
well,
right?
What happened was the co-pilot programmed incorrect information into the computer, which caused the jet to stall. Instead of pushing the yoke forward, the pilot, who was startled, repeatedly pulled back, which caused the plane to go down. Oh, my gosh, what do we do now? So as you climb on that airplane sometime soon, think back about that. See how you feel. And apparently this is nothing new. FAA has been talking about their concerns of the automation addiction as far back as 1996. And they say that they need to change the way that pilots are trained. So there you are. Feel good about that. 7:19, just to show you what's really important in our world, the folks from Twitter have let us know that when Osama bin Laden's death became public, there were 5,000 tweets per second.
Yeah.
This week when we found out that Beyonce was pregnant, it was 8,868.
Take that, Osama.
So there, in your face.
There you go.
How you feeling about that?
Well, it's the world we live in.
Let's talk about what's important.
You bet.
British researchers say their study of 18 mummies indicates that ancient Egyptians basically used hair gel.
Really?
Yeah, fat-based products for a hairstyling gel. Researchers at the University of Manchester, I'm guessing England, not New Hampshire, said their samples collected from the mummies were examined under a microscope, and the team found that the hair had been treated with a substance made from plant and animal fatty acids. How do you wash your hands after that in ancient Egypt, though? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Do you wipe it on your tunic? What do you? I mean, you know.
Lie.
Yeah. Okay. Lie. It works. Researchers said that they believe the substances were used as a hairstyling gel by the ancients, and embalmers sought to retain the hairstyles that the mummies wore in life. So, I mean, do they have mullets? I mean, is that...
Just because you have a gel doesn't mean you have a mullet.
I understand. I'm concerned. We might not take them nearly as seriously if we found out that that's going on. Arkansas man chartered an airplane to get an aerial view of his house. He thought that would be kind of a fun thing to do. So Steve Lynn, he's up there flying overhead, and he looks down at his house, and he sees two crooks loading his possessions into a trailer and driving off. I mean, really?
Wow.
Yeah. Thinking quickly, he instructed the pilot to follow the thieves from above while they telephoned police, and police arrested him. What are the chances? I mean, really? They knew he was leaving, so they backed the trailer up. It'd be interesting to know what kind of neighborhood this guy lives in to begin with. What are the chances that that happens? What kind of stuff was there for them to take? And then again, they thought it would work out just fine, and... he's watching from above. Ooh, I got another hair story here in just a minute. First, we'll take a call. What's up?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, if they discover that the mummies wore mullets, maybe they also discover that the mummies sang Achy Breaky Heart first.
Nah.
Maybe not. But while we're talking about hair, Michelle Bachmann, that's Michelle Bachmann.
She does not want to be confused with
she
the
other.
Neither Michelle wants to be confused with the other.
True. Apparently, she has managed to unite women around the country on one issue, and that's her hair. The New York Daily News says both liberal and conservative women are requesting the Bachman at hair salons across the country. One stylist says women who hate her politics love that coppery bob, as they describe it here. She's got a lot of hair, doesn't she?
Yes.
She's got pretty good hair. Anyway, they say it looks really neat. It looks not like a soccer mom. Miss Bachman raised some eyebrows a few weeks ago after spending $4,700 on hair and makeup with styling pro Tamara Robertson. $4,700? That makes Bill Clinton a real piker, doesn't it? I mean, he only costs $300 for his haircut, but not bad at all.
Well, as long as we didn't pay for her stuff.
That's also true. Again, like Mitt Romney's house, you know what? If he's got the money, let him go ahead and do it. Oh, next half hour, you know, yesterday we found out who the people are going to be with Dancing with the Stars?
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
Yeah, well, we've got the odds now. The bookmakers have made book on this now. So next half hour,
all right.
Who's going to possibly win?
I'm with Nancy Grace all the way.
This year.